Missed an episode of your favorite podcast? Choose from over a decade of content in our archives. Not just the latest episode. All free at GCNlive.com.
The Sons of Liberty is a politically neutral organization. We believe that the Judeo-Christian ethic has provided the principles upon which this nation was founded. It is our belief that these principles provide not only the foundation and framework for American government and society, but are also essential to the maintenance of a fair and just society. All program content is based on a Christian biblical worldview.
One of you said to me recently that we shouldn't rock the boat. Well, ladies and gentlemen, I want to tell you that I am a boat rocker.
Friends, as well as a few enemies, scoffers, atheists, skeptics, lunatics, weirdos, and assorted bad guys. And of course, all you good guys and girls out there, a.k.a. our red-blooded Americans, welcome to the Sons of Liberty. You have with you yours truly, Mr. Bradley. Wait a minute. This isn't Bradley Dean. This is Tim Brown. I'm the editor for sonsoflibertymedia.com, and I'm coming to you live from the bunker in sunny South Carolina. I'll be filling in for Bradley today while he takes care of some business, and our telephones won't be accessible today because we're going to have a special guest with us at the bottom of the hour, so I'll be telling you about a little bit about him coming up shortly. If you want to check us out online, please go to sonsoflibertyradio.com. That's sonsoflibertyradio.com. Or you can check out our media page, which is sonsoflibertymedia.com. Again, that's sonsoflibertymedia.com. You can also follow us on our Facebook pages at Sons of Liberty Radio or Sons of Liberty Media on Facebook. You can also check out Bradley's Facebook page, follow him, Bradley Dean. That's Bradley Dean, Bradley with double E. And you can follow him on his Twitter account, which is Bradley Dean 1. That's Bradley Dean 1 on Twitter. As I said, we're going to have a guest at the bottom of the hour, special for us. David Barton, the president of Wall Builders, will be joining us at 2:30 Central Standard Time. He'll be talking to us about his recent lawsuit as well as answering a few skeptics. So stay tuned for that coming up at the bottom of the hour. I want to let you know that we're also giving away a beautiful gun, a Joshua Mark V ARAK Hybrid semi-automatic rifle from Amendment Arms. If you go to the Sons of Liberty media page, you'll see right at the top there where the menu is, there's a little button there that says win a gun. Or if you scroll down a little bit on the right, you'll see a picture of it. You can click on that. Right below the picture, when the page comes up, there is a little entry form. You can enter to win that. We'll be giving it away on tax day this year. That's right. We'll be arming you on tax day. We'll be going along with the thoughts of our founding forefathers and the Second Amendment, believing that it is a God-given right that you have to keep and bear arms, and we're happy to do that and partner with our friends from Amendment Arms and Tom and Ryan over there. So check that out. Also, check out Sons of Liberty Media. We've got a lot of pretty hot stories that are going on right now. The big one today that's come out has been a Christian woman. I'll be highlighting this in the second segment, who takes over a podium at a Muslim event in Texas, of all places. And she says, Islam will never dominate the United States, and by the grace of God, it will never dominate Texas. Amen. It's nice to see somebody's got some intestinal fortitude to stand up against those who are pushing a lawless death cult upon America. And so we'll be highlighting that in the second segment. A couple of the other stories, if you go over to sonsoflibertymedia.com, Bradley's article is out today, The Enemies of God and the Christian Hypocrites. What's the difference? Well, There is a little bit of difference, but in the end, they become the same. They'll receive the same words that Jesus said he would give to those who don't follow the law. They are lawless. They work iniquity. So check that out at sonsoflibertymedia.com. Also, there's a military expert who says that the Obama administration is pressuring the Army to whitewash the Bergdahl swap. Check that out as well. There is a defense of anti-intellectualism from our friend Tom Dahlberg, the producer of the show, Little Sammy. He's got one up called God's Worker, D.L. Moody. I think you'll enjoy that. And Sam put some time into that and some study in giving you a little understanding of a great preacher in American history. There's also, this one might more apply to me, the term redneck does not mean what you might think. Our friends Jim and Jason from the Liberty Brothers have a guest, Billy Redneck, to tell you exactly what redneck means. And you might be surprised about that because you probably have an idea about some people who live in my area that we call rednecks, and this is not it. If your idea of the redneck is just Foxworthy's jokes, that's not necessarily where they're going with that. Also, we had a story up the other day from Michael Ware about how the military, the Obama administration was looking at getting rid of the A-10 Warthogs, the anti-tank airplanes, and how it would be a pretty big blow to the military. And yet now we have one of the generals coming forward, and he's saying, I've got basically one of two choices. I lie to Congress or I commit treason concerning this aircraft and pushing the new F-35 fighters. You might want to check that out as well. Also, our friend Troy Newman from Operation Rescue has put up court bars San Antonio from issuing permits to Planned Parenthood abortion clinic. Well, that's good news. That's good news. A lot of people say that when you're against abortion, when you're against the murder of those who are the most innocent and the most vulnerable in our society, that somehow you have a war on women. And that is not the case at all. In fact, when you start looking at what a lot of these abortion clinics do, Troy and his organization holds them to the highest standards he can hold them to, at least medically, and then brings that to bear upon them. When they're not keeping up with their clinics, when they're not providing the proper care for the women there, and some of these women have died, some of them have all kinds of complications, that is not a war on women. It is a protection of life, not only for the unborn, but for the woman. And then we just had this one up from Pastor David Whitney, who owns the land, and I'm sure that you will enjoy that as well. Also keep in mind that Eric Rush's piece on Obama's promised civilian police force, It's Happening Now, is up today. Please give that a read. Several people have already taken a look at that article. And also, one that I did yesterday, USA is first in the world in gun ownership. Per 100 people, 90 of those people in America are armed. And yet, America is more than 100 down in its murder rate. We'll be back in just a little bit. We're going to talk about Christine White and her stand at the Muslim event in Texas. Stay with us.
Hi, this is Dr. Joel Wallach, the Dead Doctors Don't Lie guy. Have you ever wondered why farmers can keep their livestock lean and healthy just by feeding them minerals in a nutrient-dense diet? Before market, they cut off their minerals, leaving them to crave high-calorie grains to fatten them up. So if weight control is this easy, why does the medical system prescribe invasive surgical gastric bypass for humans? The truth be told, according to research, you can avoid over 900 different diseases just by getting 90 essential nutrients daily. Check us out on the web at sonsoflibertyteam.com and order your healthy start pack and get your 90 for life. Or dial 855-301-TEAM. I said essential, not optional, and every day. Easy. 90 for Life on the web at sonsoflibertyteam.com or call 855-301-TEAM. That's 855-301-TEAM at sonsoflibertyteam.com.
Imagine if you had a secret code for making money. A code buried deep within biblical text. A code that certain investment titans have quietly exploited to amass billions. And what if this code could be used by you today to unlock vast amounts of wealth safely and ethically? Investment expert and former pastor Sean Hyman says there is such a code. He calls it the Biblical Money Code. Sean credits this code for helping him go from making a mere $15,000 a year to now giving away up to $50,000 a year. And today you have a chance to tap into this life-changing code by visiting the website moneycode23.com. That's moneycode, the number 23.com. At moneycode23.com, you will find a free video that describes how you could use this biblical code in your own life to get out of debt and invest for profits. Visit moneycode23.com for free today. That's moneycode23.com.
Are you tired of hearing nothing but gloom and doom from the mainstream media? It's time to turn the dial and start learning the truth of who you are so you know where you're going. That's why we at the Sons of Liberty are proud to introduce our new media outlet, sonsoflibertymedia.com. Every day, we're posting articles written by contributors from coast to coast who are actually in the fight in this culture war, bringing you the news and history the mainstream media does not want you to hear. sonsoflibertymedia.com. Get the news with resolve.
Hi, this is Ted Anderson. Have you ever wondered why banks, stockbrokers, investment advisors won't talk about gold IRAs? They've been available since 1986, yet the financial industry won't recognize the value of gold for your retirement. Gold has outperformed paper investments, yet no word about IRAs. If you would like to have gold for your retirement, call 800-686-2237. Don't get left behind by rising inflation and low returns. Call 800-686-2237. Secure your future and call 1-800-686-2237.
Welcome back to the Sons of Liberty. I want to take you over to sonsoflibertymedia.com, and there you'll find an article that I posted this morning called "A Christian Woman Takes Over Podium at Muslim Event, declares Islam will never dominate the United States, and by the grace of God, it will never dominate Texas." Now, you know this woman from a previous event that she attended, and that was last year when she stood in the National Cathedral and declared the name of the Lord Jesus amongst Muslims that were gathered there. This is supposed to be a Christian church, and they had allowed Muslims in there for a prayer service, and she stood up and declared the name of the Lord Jesus in front of them and was escorted out. This lady is Christine White, and she's 50 years old. She attended the 11th annual Texas Muslim Capital Day event yesterday and stepped up to the podium, grabbed the microphone, and said, quote, "I proclaim the name of the Lord Jesus Christ over the capital of Texas. I stand against Islam and the false prophet Muhammad. Islam will never dominate the United States, and by the grace of God, it will not dominate Texas." The microphone was trying to be ripped from her hands by a couple of people. One of them was Mustafa Carroll. Now, this guy is a piece of work. It was last year during this same event where Mr. Carroll said, quote, "If we are practicing Muslims, we're above the law of the land." Really? Really? You think that you're above the law of the land because you're a Muslim? Well, I disagree with that. I disagree that anybody is above the law. And for this guy to get up there and say that, I was just thinking about this morning. I mean, these guys are in Texas. Can you imagine two generations ago, Texans even allowing these people to hold such an event at their capital? Can you even imagine it? I can't even imagine it. A generation ago, when I was a little boy, it was very rare that you heard anything about Islam in this country. And so Christine did something that most men won't do. She just took to the podium and took a stand for Jesus there. There were other protesters there that she joined, many of them calling out no Sharia here and things of that nature. Now, what you're going to like about, or what you're going to find very interesting about this guy, Mustafa Carroll, is he's the executive director of the Houston chapter of CARE, the Council on American Islamic Relations. They are a designated terror group. The United Arab Emirates have designated them a terror group. The Obama administration is trying to get the UAE to go back on that and to whitewash who they are. They're an unindicted co-conspirator in the Holy Land Foundation terror deal that went down, one of the largest terror funding things that went on in our nation's history. And yet, here's what Mustafa said at the event yesterday. Quote, Texas Muslim Capital Day will provide Muslims with an opportunity to benefit Texans statewide by urging lawmakers to support issues that affect people of all faiths. This is also an opportunity for people of all ages to learn about the democratic process. To learn about the democratic process. And yet, when CARE alleged that there were threats that came in, what did they do? Well, they played the victim. They called the FBI out. And Carroll said that his group's agenda is not to encourage the passage of Sharia law. No, it's not that. Matter of fact, he says, that's not even logical. It's a shame that I even have to address that. Not logical, huh? Does anybody remember the report earlier this week where in Texas they just set up an Islamic tribunal? You remember that? What's it based on? Sharia law. Sharia law. Talk about the camel's nose under the tent. Where are the Texans coming out and standing up against this stuff? You just had Obama's Homeland Security advisor resign and move to Texas. Where do we have the illegal invasion coming from? All across the border states, which include Texas. The socialists want to turn that state blue. What do you think is going on there? And here's a lady who isn't even from Texas. She's willing to stand up and present what the foundation is for law. It is the person of Jesus Christ. He is the one who gave the law at Sinai. He delivered the law to Moses. He's the one who became incarnate and who held to every jot and tittle of the law in his earthly ministry. And why did he do that? Because he came to save sinners. He came to save sinners. And that is the foundation by which our right, we understand our rights, by which we understand law, by which we understand justice, by which we understand mercy. It is the person of Jesus Christ. Now, what's interesting is you've got the Speaker of the House down there in Texas who seemingly defends CARE, Joe Straus. The Texas Capitol belongs to all the people of the state, and legislators have a responsibility to treat all visitors just as we expect to be treated, with dignity and respect. Now, do you know why he's saying that? Because Representative Molly White had informed her staff, since she wasn't going to be there, she said, make sure that somebody pledges allegiance to America, that they renounce terrorism if they're from the Muslim community. I don't think that's such a bad thing. Everybody wants to get us away from the fact that terrorism is somehow not related to Islam. Well, I have a question for you, and we can solve this real quick. Was Muhammad a terrorist? We know the Quran teaches about using terror against the infidels. We know that. We know what his life was about. He was a murdering, thieving pedophile. We know exactly what Muhammad was. Now, if that's what he is, the founder of the religion, which is basically a political ideology, then in order to follow in the footsteps of your founder, what must you be? You see, the things that we're seeing over the Middle East is not hijacking of Islam, it is Islam. And if I can correlate that, when we look in the church and you have people who claim that they are Christian, but they don't follow the scriptures, they don't even seem like they're really interested in obeying them in their everyday life at all, then they shouldn't call themselves a Christian. The same thing is true with those who reference themselves as Muslim. I realize there are a lot of Muslims who are Muslim in name only. They've been born into a family. They've heard some Quran text quoted. They've been around the mosque. But they don't have a clue as to what Islam teaches. And yet those who get into the Quran, who understand what it says, and who really want to obey it, well, we heard from our friend Jeremiah the other day. He's actually been over there. He's actually been helping the Kurdish fighters fight against ISIS. And it's those guys who get into the Quran, who understand what Muhammad taught, who understand what he commanded of them, and the example that he gave and those after him gave, they're the ones who become these guys cutting people's heads off. That's the real face of Islam. And anyone who tells you any different is either ignorant or they're lying to you. And in most cases, I'm going to suggest, at least in the upper levels of our political sphere, they're lying to you. They are purposefully deceiving you. But in any case, the representative, Molly White, she stood by her claims of doing that. But then later on during the day, she wanted to apologize for them. I don't know what she had to apologize for. She was simply standing up for what was right. Unless you think that Christine was out of line, that she was being unchristian by what she did, I want you to think about a couple of people before we go to the break. Think about Elijah and the prophets of Baal. What did he do? He mocked them. He mocked them openly. Maybe your God's on vacation. Maybe he's in the bathroom. Where's your God at? Huh? And then when God showed up on the scene, what did they do? They took all the prophets of Baal down to the river and they executed them because they were leading them after a God they had not known. What about Nehemiah? Nehemiah did the same thing. People came to Jerusalem to sell their wares on the Sabbath, and he said, listen, guys, if you come here again, we're going to lay hands on you. And he wasn't talking about praying for them. They were going to get rowdy at the gates because the people would not honor the law. So I ask you, where are the Christians who are bold today? Where are those who are unafraid to stand up and defend God and his word more than they're worried about who they offend and what their charities will be like? We'll be right back in a little bit with David Barton from Wall Building. Stay with us.
Hi, this is Steve Sanchez, and based on a recent study, it was found that 57 million Americans had legal issues over the last 12 months, but only 60% of those studied sought out the services of a lawyer. Why? In a nutshell, affordability. Well, my friends at Legal Shield have created a solution that can help you not if, but when you need an attorney. For as little as $17 per month, Legal Shield will provide you unlimited access to qualified attorneys at an accomplished law firm for advice and counsel on legal issues, no matter how serious or trivial. For over 40 years and with 1.4 million families across North America, Legal Shield can help you, the loyal GCN listener. Representatives are standing by now to answer your questions, so call them now at 1-855-340-SAVE. That's 1-855-340-7283, or visit them at lsprotection.com. That's lsprotection.com.
Results will vary from case to case.
You're listening to GCN, proudly sponsored by UnseenNow.com. Lock down your digital life at UnseenNow.com. This is GCN.
For over 5 years, you've been hearing about the Berkey guy, so you may know a few things about him. For example, you are well aware of the superior quality and effectiveness of Berkey water filters and accessories. But did you know the Berkeys have had independent lab tests done to prove just how effective they are? It's true, and he can email you the test results. Just visit GoBerkey.com. You may also know that the Berkey guy has helped tens of thousands of people get better prepared. Now here's something you may not know. GoBerkey.com has amazing specials and deals all the time on a wide variety of survival and preparedness products. Most ready to ship same day. Visit the Berkey Guy at GoBerkey.com and be sure to click the red Products on Sale Now button. You can always call toll-free 877-886-3653. Again, that's 877-886-3653. GoBerkey.com, home of the Berkey Guy.
Don't complain about your cable bill going up and up and up. Do something about it. Grab a pencil and jot down this special number. 1-855-905-MYTV. The more cable TV rates go up, the better digital satellite TV looks. Say goodbye to the cable guy and get more of your favorite channels in 100% digital quality for less money. Call 1-855-905-MYTV. Sign up for packages starting as low as $19.99 and there's no equipment to buy. You get free HD TV upgrade, a free DVR upgrade, and free professional installation. You control what you watch, when you watch it. Record your favorite shows. Pause and rewind live TV. Even skip the commercials. Watch local channels too. At just $19.99, what are you waiting for? Pull out your major credit or debit card. Call 1-855-905-MYTV. 1-855-905-MYTV. Say goodbye to the cable guy. Cut costs and get more. 1-855-905-MYTV. 1-855-905-MYTV.
Hey, guess what? They've got some great deals for Valentine's Day at Guns80.com. They're calling it the Sweetheart Special. Guns80.com has lowered the price way down to $400 up until Valentine's Day. Order your Ghost AR-15 now. Tell your sweetheart that this is the right gift at the right time. Buy one for yourself. Buy one for your sweetheart, too. Your sweetheart will thank you for being so tuned into his or her needs. Get a brand new Ghost AR-15 right now for $400. Heck, buy two. His and hers. Go to Guns80.com or call and ask for the sweetheart deal. Love is in the air at Guns80.com. Call now, 844-2-GUNS-80. That's 844-248-6780. It's a sweetheart of a deal. Actually, it's a steal at $400. So call Guns80.com at 844-2-GUNS-80. But hurry, supplies are limited. Call 844-2-GUNS-80 or get your Ghost AR-15 today at Guns80.com on the web.
Welcome back to the Sons of Liberty. And we have a special guest on the line with us. David, are you there?
I am, Tim.
All right, great to have you. Let me give you a little introduction for people who are not familiar with you. This is David Barton. He is the founder and president of Wall Builders. He resides in Aledo, Texas with his wife, Carol, and their three children. He spent 8 years as an educator and school administrator before founding Wall Builders. He has received numerous awards, including several Who's Who's honors, two Angel Awards for Excellence in Media, and a George Washington Honor Medal. He has spoken to numerous state legislatures, consulted to both the state and federal legislatures on various bills, and has written amicus briefs in cases at the U.S. Supreme Court. And I must say, David, too, you have helped to educate my kids and even myself. I'm not big peanuts and all that, but you've done that through some of your videos. So it's a pleasure to have you on the show and to speak with you today.
Thanks, bro. Thanks for having me on, and thanks for teaching others. That's good stuff. Thanks, bro.
Yeah, I'm happy to do that. And, boy, it's really my privilege. Bradley had some things he had to do, and he said, would you fill in? And I guess I feel very unworthy to do it, but I'm very happy to do it and to be able to interview you today. And just had a couple of things. I'm going to lay some stuff out there, let you speak about it. Back in December, I wrote an article on the fact that you had won a $1 million lawsuit settlement against two candidates who are running for the state Texas Board of Education. And wanted to see if you wanted to spill the beans on that. Let us know what all took place with that lawsuit.
Well, you know, it's an interesting thing that the kind of stuff that we put out and information about, and our website, we're very clear that we want to help preserve America's constitutional, religious, and moral foundations. And so as part of what we do with that, we own a collection of about 100,000 documents from before 1812. So thousands of the handwritten documents of Washington, Adams, Jefferson, all those guys. And so within that framework, putting that out, that's really bad news for folks that are on the hardcore secular side. Because one of the things that, you mentioned the Supreme Court. One of the things we do every case in the Supreme Court is argue over history. Oh, no, founding fathers didn't want this. This is what they did it. No, it's not. And so you get these battling views of history going back and forth. Well, on our side, we've got all these original documents. And on their side, they quote all these professors. They, well, Professor so-and-so says. And so it really hurts them to be able to say, hey, the founding fathers didn't want a kid to say God at graduation, or, you know, the founding fathers didn't want Ohio to have with God all things are possible, it's their state motto. And they quote the professors, and then we just pull out the founding documents and say, well, here's what they said about things like that. So what's happened over time in an effort to try to discredit the impact of that message, what they do is they specifically go after the messenger, which is nothing new. So in our case, they have spent a ton of money putting out all these blogs and all these pieces and all these whatever. Oh, Barton's known for making up his history. Oh, he's an admitted liar. Oh, his professors all the time point out how wrong he is. And so they have tried to knock down anything. They don't go after the documents. They just go after us as being liars. And the other thing they did is they said, oh, he's a white supremacist. He's anti-Semitic. Well, he's known for speaking to white supremacist groups. And, of course, that's a pretty toxic claim today. So after that having gone on for a number of years, we decided to take some folks into court on those two major claims that we make up our history and that it's all inaccurate and that we're white supremacists and anti-Semitic. And the court, going through the court process, we went all the way to the Texas Supreme Court, came back to district court, and at that point the folks settled on the case and the court entered a large judgment. With a validation of, no, you know, the defendants admit he is not racist, he's not anti-Semitic, he doesn't make up his history. And so that's what we were after, was getting some validation, which thus allows us to push back on them when they start telling people, you can't trust Barton because he makes up all of his history. No, you can trust him because here's the original documents posted on the website.
Right. Yeah, no, and I was actually just reading through something there about on your website, John Adams, was he really an enemy of Christians, addressing modern academic shallowness? And that was some of the things that I wanted to kind of jump off of, too, with regards to your lawsuit. In doing some research for the article that I wrote, I ran across several of these websites. You're probably familiar with them. The anti-theist site, I think it's called Pathos.
Right.
And some of those people, and you know, some of them were saying, "Well, boy, I wish David would challenge me, or would file a lawsuit against me over where I'm calling him out on certain things about history." And
yeah.
So the question I have is, do you have anything in the works to deal with people like that?
We really don't, because there are so many, and if you research it, you saw how many stinking websites are out there. And there are folks on the other side that are paid. And so there are bloggers that are paid to keep it up there, because as the logarithms work in Google and everything else, the more sites you have that talk about something, the more that rises to the top.
Sure.
So they literally have folks paid that just keep writing bad stuff about us, and that would be the right thing for them to say is, oh, come on, bring it on, sue me. Well, we're not going to sue thousands of folks, because we've made the point in the lawsuit. We took the categories of claims, and that's the right thing for them to say. It's like, ah, you can't intimidate me. But it doesn't change the fact that the substance of what they've gone after in these two areas is now discredited. And so we don't have to sue. As a matter of fact, we've been able already to see folks pull down stuff off the websites because they say, you know, that's awful close to the line on what he won that judgment on. I think we better take that down. And that's exactly the effect it's supposed to have. But the other thing that was really important for us that I learned through history was, you know, the founding fathers got their brains beat in by critics back in their day. I mean, they just, you look at it, the political election of 1800, there is no such thing as negative campaigning today compared to what they did then. I mean, we're a bunch of wimps today compared to what they did. And so Jefferson, I mean, they called him a murderer. They said he defrauded widows and orphans, that he was closing down the U.S. Navy, that if he gets elected, he will burn every Bible in America. I mean, it was just over the top. And so Jefferson, in his own writings, was very clear, and he said, you know, I could take these folks in the court, and I could successfully win lawsuits, no question. He said, but I don't, and he gave three reasons. He said, number one is God knows the truth. I don't have to prove anything to God. He said, number two, they will all appear before the great judge of the universe, to whom they'll answer for what these lies are. And he said, number three, I trust the good sense of the people. And the people did have good sense. They elected him despite all those lies that were out there. But the problem is that in the last 20 years, today's academics, they say, well, you know, Jefferson never denied those claims in print, so they must have been true. And you go, really? Because he didn't deny it. And so that's what academics have said today about Jefferson. On the other hand, you have Dr. Benjamin Rush, signer of the Declaration. He was a doctor, and he had a guy named William Cobbett who went after him and said, oh, man, this guy's a quack. His medicine kills people. He's a murderer. He's known for killing people through his medical treatment. And it just goes on and on. And finally, after years, Benjamin Rush said, I've had it. He took him into court. He won a really large judgment in court against William Cobbett, and then he gave all the money to charity. But now historians say, well, you know, he wasn't that much of a quack physician because actually he went into court and won his case. And so that really stood out to us as, you know what, I know that God knows the truth, and I know these people appear before God for the lies, and the good sense of the people is still there because they buy the books like crazy. You know, the books are New York Times bestseller. But then it comes into this thing of posterity and future generations, and will they do the thing that academics today do, say, well, you know, because he never denied it, he must have been guilty of it. And we decided, you know, Proverbs 22:1, a good name's more to be chosen than riches, let's get the name vindicated. And so that was really why we went after the suits, and it's done that. And so for the other guys to bluster around and say, well, he can't come after me, we've already answered the substance of what they're claiming. We'll never be able to stop all the voices. That's not the issue. The point is, it's now on record that those are false claims, and that's what we wanted.
Right, right. And you weren't out for the money either, because you took the money that you got and you gave it away, right?
Yeah, we did not keep any of the money because we weren't suing for money. We were suing for accuracy. You see, the other thing that was important for us is there are millions of people who buy our books and who use that information, and that goes from, you know, judges all the way through political leaders, through teachers, through pastors, through whatever. And we don't want them to have a question in their mind. Well, I don't know if I should use this or not, because after all, Barton's an admitted liar. Well, that's gone now. That's not something they have to worry about. So we wanted those people to be free to use American history without wondering whether it was accurate or not, because that's important for them. All we're doing is bringing out original documents. And, of course, that does drive the other side crazy, because they don't have original documents. They just have modern professors they quote. So we didn't want people to feel intimidated from being able to go forward with actual documents from history. And that was the other thing we were looking at. So we weren't after the money. That wasn't the issue at all. And that's why we didn't keep any money.
Right. And there was the question, where did the money come from? Did it actually come from these two people who were running, or was there special interest groups, or were you guys made aware of that?
No, that's, you know, from our standpoint, we didn't care. Don't know where it came from, and that's irrelevant from where we were. And, okay. You know, I was told that they had various legal fundraisers and folks were raising money for them for the lawsuit. Because there were extensive expenses going through the suit, no question. You know, it got filed in court, then it went to a court of appeals, then it went to the Texas Supreme Court, then it came back down to a lower court. And so all that legal process, 3.5 years, was plenty of money, notwithstanding anything that the judgment may have included. So just the legal fees, there was a ton of expense that went with that on both sides. And
sure.
So, you know, we were told that they were doing fundraisers and they were running for political office and using the money to raise an office. And who knows? That may or may not be. That's what political folks told us. But, you know, from our standpoint, where they got it and what they did with it, who knows? But we were after the outcome, and we were blessed with a very good outcome.
Well, good. Good. I had some people in the comments section ask about things like if any of that money had been generated from taxpayers, so I'm assuming that probably was not.
No,
the case.
There was guaranteed no taxpayer money in it. Guaranteed,
okay.
No taxpayer money. That we're sure of.
Okay.
No, there was no taxpayer money in that at all. You know, it's interesting. If you sue under constitutional clauses, it can involve taxpayer money.
Right.
But if you sue under you know other clauses, not so. And we sued under defamation statute clauses.
Okay. Well, we got David Barton here. Hang on with us through the break, and we'll be right back.
At the Sons of Liberty, we are in the trenches doing what it takes to protect our liberty. If you are already supporting our work as a son or daughter of liberty, we cannot say thank you enough. All we do is made possible by the generosity of faithful supporters. If you have not yet partnered with us financially, we ask you to consider becoming a son or daughter of liberty. Call 1-866-233-0747 or online at sonsoflibertyradio.com. Be a part of the team that brings responses like this.
Hey, this is columnist and author Eric Rush, and I am honored to support our friend Bradley Dean and Sons of Liberty Radio. Bradley is one of the most passionate patriots I know, and he's got a better handle on the diabolical forces marshaled against America than anybody on the radio. Listen and support Bradley and Sons of Liberty as they carry the unapologetic and uncompromising message of faith and fidelity to God and country.
Become a son or daughter of liberty at sonsoflibertyradio.com.
Imagine if you had a secret code for making money. A code buried deep within biblical text. A code that certain investment titans have quietly exploited to amass billions. And what if this code could be used by you today to unlock vast amounts of wealth safely and ethically? Investment expert and former pastor Sean Hyman says there is such a code. He calls it the Biblical Money Code. Sean credits this code for helping him go from making a mere $15,000 a year to now giving away up to $50,000 a year. And today you have a chance to tap into this life-changing code by visiting the website moneycode23.com. That's moneycode23.com. At moneycode23.com, you will find a free video that describes how you could use this biblical code in your own life to get out of debt and invest for profits. Visit moneycode23.com for free today. That's moneycode23.com.
We all have our own idea about what being safe and secure means. The door's locked, bills are paid, you've got a job that keeps the lights on, and a home to call your own. But what happens when Mother Nature throws a curveball?
I'm telling you, take cover.
Are you prepared to live without electricity or passable roads for weeks at a time? Do you even have a plan B? If you do, are you willing to bet your life on it?
Children left with no homes.
And no one's coming to help them.
The first step towards self-reliance in the face of disaster is a visit to MyPatriotSupply.com. There you'll find the absolute best prices on storable foods, non-GMO seeds, emergency water filtration devices, and so much more. All orders over $49 qualify for free shipping in the lower 48 states. Call 866-229-0927. That's 866-229-0927. And speak to one of our preparedness advisors today, or visit us at MyPatriotSupply.com. Remember, before it's time to survive, it's time to prepare.
You gotta love that guy making all that noise there. Welcome back. This is Tim Brown, and I've got David Barton on the line with me. David, thanks for joining us, and I want to hit two more topics real quick.
Hey, Tim, before we do, can I jump in on one thing real quick on that last question you asked? You know, if you go to the Hobby Lobby Conestoga Woods case that we had at the Supreme Court and one of the Supreme Court, because it was the Obama administration that went after Conestoga Woods and the Hobby Lobby, in the case of Conestoga Woods, the court just awarded $570,000 of attorney's fees to Alliance Defending Freedom, which defended Conestoga Wagon at the court, Conestoga Woods Court. So that meant the government actually paid $570,000 to the people that defended their constitutional rights. In the same way, if you get a kid, you know, can't say God at graduation, and they sue the school, and the court says, he can say God, that's fine. The school's going to pay for that, and that's taxpayer money. So unless you're actively suing the government in some way, you really don't get government money, taxpayer money involved in it. Or unless the government is suing you in some way and you win against the government. But it takes that. So these were all private parties involved. And, you know, by the way, the government really does cost a lot of money. And the way that U.S. Code 1983 is written, the government, people actually get paid if they attack religion. I mean, that's a crazy way we've written the code right now. But when they go after religion publicly like that, if they win the case, the government pays them for winning the case to take out religion. Well, now we're starting to see some payment go back the other direction for people who are defending their religious liberties. They're now starting to get paid when they attack the government. And that's, you know, that's good. It should be a disincentive for the government to attack, but we'll see if that works or not. But that's a little more explanation on what we had just before we went to break.
Right. Well, I think that probably what needs to happen is we need to start targeting some of the people who are bringing it rather than just government in general. Whoever's bringing those things, we need to start targeting those individuals and allowing them to pay for it out of their own pocket.
You know, that's one of the things that we've been working with the congressman. But right now, and this is a 200-year-old practice, is the government has immunity. You're not allowed to sue the government unless the government gives you permission to sue it. And then when you sue the government, you can't sue the individuals. You can only sue the government agency. So we've been trying to – I mean, we have a situation right now in the Department of Agriculture where what's called APHIS has been taken over by animal rights activists, and they're within the Department of Agriculture, and they're whacking every animal program they can find anywhere in the country. Well, it's costing tens of millions of dollars in the agricultural community, and they can't sue the government because the government has immunity from lawsuit. So, you know, we're trying to figure out how can we go after just these 8 or 10 or 12 guys in this one department. And there's some ways that Congress is looking at and trying to reshape this because it's kind of like tort reform. But since back in the Founding Fathers' days, you don't have a right to sue government unless the government gives you permission. And that's what they start doing now is in the laws they will say now you can bring action against the government under this clause or this provision or whatever, but you still don't get to go at individuals unless they show some reckless, incompetent malfeasance, criminal acts. And that's so all that to say, we're looking at ways to do that. For example, we can say this one agency, if there's $50 million in lawsuit awards awarded because this Department of Agriculture agency, the next year let's take that $50 million, multiply it by 10, and say, all right, we've just cut your budget $500 million because you lost $50 million in lawsuits last year. So there's those kind of incentives which then causes individuals to come under scrutiny because they're costing the government money. And so, you know, that's all to say we're looking at legislative solutions, but it's a very complicated process. It's 200 years old.
Yeah, and you're fighting a government who won't let you sue.
That's right. That's right. They don't want to be sued. I mean, that's the, surely we all joke they can print more money, which they really can. But nonetheless, they don't care. And that's what they've told us to our face. You guys can sue all you want to. Our attorneys are paid for life. You have to raise money for your attorneys. You know, they're not intimidated by that. And that's got to change. They've got to be accountable.
I agree. Well, I'm going to skip one of my questions because basically you kind of covered it in your answer about the critics. But I do have one question. We've just got a couple of minutes left, so it'll probably have to be brief. But with seeing the growth of Islam in the West, and I was just referencing what took place there yesterday in Texas with the Muslim Capital Day that went on there in your state, and seeing that come up, do you think that it was ever the intention of the founders and the First Amendment to protect Islamic worship in America, and if so, why?
Yes, it was, because they mentioned that in the Constitutional Convention when they ratified, but they had this caveat. Every one of them had this caveat. They said, we will protect all religious expression. In 1619, we had Muslims in America. I mean, they've been there from very early. We had one elected Congress in 1799 under, you know, at the time when Jefferson was there, he was in Congress. So it's been there, but it was always with the caveat that you cannot, and this is what the founder said, as long as it is not an attempt to undermine the Christian foundations of the country. It's Christianity that gives tolerance to other religions. We're not scared of other religions. We don't have to shut them out. But you can't use your religion to shut us out. And that's where we've lost it. We've now become a secular nation, and so we allow any belief to come in and undermine every traditional belief that's there because we don't make a judgment about what beliefs are right or wrong. Well, man, when we get to that point, then everybody's views is equally right, and that's a real problem. So Founding Fathers were very, very clear that, yes, we'll protect these other faiths and their expression so long as it does not undermine the foundation of Christianity that provides the protection for that. And so that's the caveat they got, that they gave, that we're not following today. Therefore, this open practice embracing that we have of the Islamic faith, particularly over Christianity, where you squash Christianity to Judaism, but you elevate Islam, Common Core, it's a different discussion, but we got that 63-page textbook being used in Florida, 3 chapters on Islam, 63 pages, no chapters on Christianity, Judaism. We've got that. We now have 45 court jurisdictions, I think 27 states that have recognized Sharia law in their state courts. You just can't do that, and that's where we've headed.
Would you think that the where we're at right now, is there a way to go back to what you're saying the founders had, or would there be a way that states by themselves could implement some type of a ban on that?
Well, the states
open practice of it.
Yeah, the states can't implement a ban on religious expression because that's guaranteed by the federal constitution. But they can implement a ban on the use in courts and other public facilities. And so, you know, in the case of Michigan, the University of Michigan missed $25,000 in state funds to fund washing basins for Muslims, but they won't do anything for any other religion. Well, you can put a stop to that. In the state of Michigan, say no. You spend money, you spend it equally. You don't spend it for one religion and not the others. So states can do a lot with the money they have and the money they use. They can also do a lot with textbooks. They can do a lot with other things, but they cannot eliminate it across the board. And a number of states, I think eight now, have passed the American laws for American courts, which says no Sharia law in our state courts. You can do that. And so a number of states are beginning to take action in that direction because there is a preferentialism now for Islam, particularly coming out of this administration and the department agencies. I mean, it's really obvious and easy to see. Fox has a great list of all the preferentialism that's done up until 2012 with this administration. So it's, you know, still 3 years out of date, but my gosh, you look at what's there and it you shake your head. So yes,
oh, sure.
A lot can be done, but not necessarily federally until you get a different president in there to move the cabinet agencies in a different direction.
Right. Yeah, I was looking more towards the state issue because I realize a lot of the state were very clear in their state constitution.
Yeah, that's right.
About, you know, having Christian leaders being put into office, and also I think there were several states that actually were considered, for instance, like Virginia Presbyterian and things of that nature at the signing of the constitution.
Right.
That's why I was wondering how that could play out within states. I knew it couldn't be done at the federal level, but I was pretty sure it could be done somewhere with states.
What happened was the U.S. Supreme Court, in a series of activist decisions in the 60s, struck down those state constitutional provisions in what's called the Selective Incorporation Bill of Rights. They said, well, the Bill of Rights now doesn't protect states. It protects the feds. We're federalizing all your state Bill of Rights. And so the whole issue, regardless of what your state constitution now says on religion, it has been sucked into the federal interpretation of that. And that's a real problem. So, but outside of that, within education, within other realms, there's still a lot states can do. But you still have New Hampshire and you still have Massachusetts that are very openly, explicitly Christian in their declarations, their constitution. But the court has set that aside. A case court called Torcaso v. Watkins, they struck down the Maryland constitution that had the similar provisions. So that's all gone, by the way, because of judicial activism at the federal level. It shouldn't have, but it did, and that's kind of what we're facing today.
Okay. Well, David, we're about out of time here, but thank you for joining me, and I appreciate you answering the questions and enlightening me and our audience with what's going on, and I hope to have you back sometime in the future.
Look forward to it, Tim. Thanks for all you do, brother. Bless you.
Okay, brother. Take care. That's David Barton from Wall Builders, and it's good to hear somebody go through these things to understand how this is supposed to work in our government, to see where we're at right now, and to see what we need to do. And first and foremost, as Bradley is always reminding the audience, it is we have to do something. And let's not just be hearers of the word, but doers of the word. Bradley will be back tomorrow, Saturday, for 2 hours. We love you by what we do. 1 John 3:18. Have a great weekend. Talk to you soon.
This alert just came in. This special announcement is for business owners and leaders of organizations who've been waiting for the right time to build. General Steel has made it impossible to wait any longer with rock-bottom prices that could save you thousands. That's right. General Steel, America's leader in pre-engineered structures, is offering buildings at prices you will never see again. Don't miss these prices. A 50 by 100 for $35,000. You heard right. That's 5,000 square feet for $35,000. Manufacturers, if you need a larger building, try a 100 by 100 commercial building for $129,000. You can't afford to rent with these prices. Imagine a 70 by 100 foot church building for under $69,000. With the economy improving and interest rates still at historic lows, you can't afford to wait. So call 866-91-STEEL. Lock in your price now. Call 866-91-STEEL. That's 866-917-8335.